Good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcast going out to listeners in Christchurch and Plains FM on Saturday night, Wellington Access Radio on Sunday night, and Kapiti Coast Radio and Sunday evening. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz, listening around New Zealand and indeed around the world. Hopefully you can stay with me for the next hour. We've got all the latest news from Ireland. We've got great music and news events happening here in New Zealand. And we've also got a special guest on the programme tonight, the Minister for Trade, Innovation and Enterprise, Heather Humphreys. A Monaghan woman is visiting New Zealand this week, leading a trade mission to the Field Days, which is running at the moment down there in Mystery Creek in Hamilton. And Heather will join us in a few minutes, and we're going to have a chat about the mission that's down here, talk about what's happening over in Ireland, the economy, what's happening with the peace process in Northern Ireland. And we might even have a chat about when we worked together in the Ulster Bank in the early 80s. Heather, a personal friend of mine, so it was great to catch up with her earlier this week. So wherever you're listening, I hope you can stay with us. And we're going to have a lot of Monaghan and Cavan music on the programme tonight. I think it's only fair with Heather down here. We should play a few Big Tom songs. So with the first one is Big Tom here, back to Castle Blaney. And later we'll have a few more. So hopefully you enjoy the programme. And to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So Big Tom from Castle Blaney to take us back there now.
I said farewell to dear old dad and kissed my mother goodbye. Then turned away before they'd see the tears form in my eyes. Along the winding leafy lane where in childhood we would play, with heartache and old memories I sadly made my way. So many folks have left their homes through strife and poverty, yet somehow we could struggle by, just mother, dad and me. But things went wrong between me and the girl. Visualize the hedgerows on the road I used to go. I see the town of Blaney and the lakes of Lochmacknow. Around the old Hope Castle where so often I would roam, I dream of Castle Blaney, foreign shore. The darker
come here to justify one man to overthrow.
Yes, well, contrasting sounds there. We had Big Tom, and that's followed by Bono. And, of course, you'll have heard the news today that U2 have announced a second concert here in New Zealand on the 9th of November. So you can wait till Tuesday to get tickets for that. And I'm sure that'll be a huge event. The first concert on the 8th of November and the second one on the 9th of November with tickets going on sale. But as I said before, we started the programme off with Big Tom taking us back to Castle Blaney. We're going to talk to a woman that grew up not far from Castle Blaney, who's down here. She's a VIP in New Zealand this week. She's the Irish Minister for Trade and Enterprise and Innovation, Heather Humphreys, and she's just after spending the day in Field Days, and she's taking the time to join us here on the programme for the next 20 minutes. Heather, good evening and welcome to Ireland Calling.
Good evening, Oliver, and good evening to all your listeners.
Thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are listening tonight to this programme in New Zealand and all over the world, Heather. So they knew you were going to be coming on, so we've boosted up the listenership. We'll talk a bit about the purpose of your visit, but later as well we want to have a chat about how things is going, the Irish economy. You're from a border county. We want to talk about Brexit. We want to talk about the peace process. But let's start first with Field Days today, and you met some VIPs down there. Tell us what you thought of New Zealand's answer to the National Ploughing Championship.
Well, first of all, can I just say I'm delighted to be here in New Zealand on a trade mission. As I started in Auckland yesterday, and I met New Zealand Irish Business Network, and I have to say a very enjoyable event. And just to show how small the world is, and the strong links between Ireland and New Zealand, I met two Monaghan people. Both of them are neighbours from Smithborough, Declan Scott and Gary Curley, and they're both involved in business in New Zealand. I also met with New Zealand companies looking to expand and do business in Ireland. And then last night I attended the Field Day hosted by Enterprise Ireland, and I met companies from the farm machinery and the agri-tech sector. And then I also met the president of Field Days, Peter Carr, the CEO, and I met the former Prime Minister, Jim Bulger, who has relations in Wexford, and his wife, Joan. So then today I went to the Field Days event. As you say, it's very similar to the Ploughing Championship in Ireland. And I'm delighted. I'm actually the first Irish minister ever to attend Field Days, so I really enjoyed it. Because as you know, Oliver, I'm from a farming background. I was reared on a farm. I'm still married to a farmer. And there are so many similarities between Irish farming and New Zealand farming. And I was delighted to meet your Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. And it was an informal meeting, and we had a good chat over lunch. And she's a very impressive person, whom I have no doubt will inspire other women to take on leadership roles and indeed get involved in politics. So we agreed that there are many opportunities for Ireland and New Zealand to work more collaboratively together. I had a good meeting also with your Minister for Agriculture, Damien O'Connor, and we're both facing similar challenges in how we address issues of climate change and how we transition to a low-carbon economy. And in terms of research, if there is a solution that works in New Zealand, it'll work in Ireland. And of course, vice versa. I also met your trade minister as well today, and we had a good conversation about the free trade agreement that's currently being negotiated between the EU and New Zealand. So tomorrow I'm back again at Field Days, meeting more companies. And then in the afternoon I go to Wellington, where I will meet companies and business leaders. And at the weekend, I'm looking forward to some cultural visits. I plan to visit the Te Papa Museum, which of course focuses on Maori culture. And I visit that on Saturday. And then on Monday, I'm going to Christchurch before heading hometown. And, I'm going to meet the mayor of Christchurch while I'm there.
Brilliant. Well, you're certainly not hanging around, and we know that you have a full schedule. So going back to Field Days today, you're this Irish trade mission, there's 10 companies involved in the agri sector that are exhibiting there as part of Enterprise Ireland. So we seem to have strong connections on the agricultural side of things between Ireland and New Zealand, Heather. And I see one of the companies that's there is from your own county, Combilift. Tell us a small bit about Combilift and what they do.
Yeah, well, Combilift is a really exciting company. They employ over 300 people in my own county of Monaghan, and they have forklifts, and they have you know, many different types of forklifts that they can use. They're multi-directional forklifts is what they're called, because they can really, really work in very, very confined spaces. So they bring solutions to many companies in terms of they're able to keep their stock in very small spaces. And they also have straddle carriers. So I'm visiting a company on Monday in Christchurch that has a straddle carrier that they're using in the port. So it's a really, really innovative company. And of course we also have Abbey Machinery, Keenan Dairy Master, another innovative company for the dairy sector, Malone Machinery, and there's a number of others, Major Machinery, Tanco, Prodig and Highspec. These are all exciting companies, all in the agri-tech space. So I'm delighted to be here, and such companies, you know, are at the high end of the market, and that they really are, you know, they really are cutting edge companies, and it's a great honour for me to go on a trade mission with these type of companies that have such solutions, and you know, a really great offering in terms of bringing solutions to the sector.
I'm with these companies today. There's quite a few from Mayo, there's a number from Carlow. These are rural areas. Both yourself and myself come from rural areas. We know what it's like to grow up in a rural economy. Many people have to leave to the bigger cities, but thankfully, you know, it's great to see these companies. But the big news is, a few weeks ago, your government announced a 3 billion euro investment to roll out ultra-fast broadband to rural Ireland. Tell us a small bit about that, and why it's costing so much, and is it going to be the state-of-the-art broadband that people can run businesses successfully?
Yeah, well, just to say, you're right there in terms of these companies, because many of them are third and fourth generation family-owned businesses, but that doesn't mean that they're set in their ways. They are leading the way in the very latest innovation and R&D. Now, in terms of broadband, of course, this is a big investment, but it's absolutely essential, because, you know, the world we're living in is changing, and we're going to be even more reliant on the internet. We have announced the National Broadband Plan, which will deliver broadband to the remaining 540,000 homes and businesses in the country that currently don't have high-speed broadband. So, you know, we're going to be one of the first countries in the world that's going to have high-speed broadband into every single house and premises. And I think that's very important. Broadband is going to become an essential utility, and indeed you know that here in New Zealand, because I know that you're rolling out your broadband plan currently. It's the same as water and electricity. We will not be able to live without it, and it's going to be a game changer for mills. and it's certainly something that we need in the regions and in rural Ireland, and I'm absolutely committed to it, and I do believe it's going to create great opportunities in terms of people will have the ability to live and work in regional locations, and that of course will take the pressure off our cities. And it can mean substantial savings in terms of rent and property costs, and it'll reduce the need to commute, and it'll lead to a better work-life balance. And that means that we'll have flexible working arrangements and people can work from home rather than having to commute into cities. So in my book, broadband will be the game changer for rural Ireland, and it'll keep us at the cutting edge.
Now, you do travel around the world along with the IDA and Enterprise Ireland. You're encouraging companies to set up operations in Ireland, and I suppose with Brexit around the corner, we'll talk more about that in a few minutes' time, this is a great opportunity for New Zealand companies that want a foothold in an English-speaking country within the European Union to base themselves in Ireland. We know that the Irish economy is growing well. Big companies, multinationals are moving into Ireland. There's the young workforce, there's low tax rates. But I suppose the message that I see from people is to try to get some of these companies to set up in areas outside of Dublin. So how is that going for you, Heather, in your role as the Minister for Trade, Innovation and Enterprise?
Yes, well, I come from a very rural area, and I'm absolutely committed to regional development and rural development. And we see Ireland as a great place in which to do business, and foreign direct investment has been a cornerstone of our economic policy, and is responsible for 2/3 of our national exports. And indeed, some of the world's most recognisable and innovative companies have chosen to invest in Ireland. And approximately 1,400 foreign headquartered companies have significant operations in Ireland, employing 230,000 people. So Ireland is a gateway to Europe and beyond, because we offer barrier-free access to Europe's 500 million consumers. And post-Brexit, it's going to be important for countries to have a presence in Europe. And we have a lot to offer, especially to countries like New Zealand, who want to make sure they have a presence in Europe, because we'll be the only English-speaking country in the EU when the UK leaves. And we are committed members of the European Union. And we have the strong base of existing FDI companies. And we have a highly educated, young, multilingual workforce. And we have a safe and secure common law jurisdiction. So we really do have a lot to offer in terms of companies who want to set up in Ireland, and to use Ireland as a stepping stone to expand further into the EU. So, yes, I think for New Zealand companies that are considering setting up a presence in the EU, I feel that Ireland can be the first port of call for them. And as I say, culturally, we're very similar, and we speak the same language and we understand each other.
Right, we're going to take a music break here now. We're going to play a song by a man that passed away last year. 15,000 people turned up for his removal. We're talking here about the King of Country in Ireland, who got a lot of recognition in the years before he died. I'm talking about Late Late Show specials on country music, Big Tom. Tell us a small bit about Big Tom, and I know that you were there when they unveiled a statue in his honour within the last year.
Yes, well, Big Tom certainly was an icon in Castle Blaney, and certainly he reached out, his music reached out to the diaspora, especially in the UK, whenever he went over there to perform. And he was held in high regard, as I say, not just in Ireland, but right across the UK and further afield. He's missed by many. Of course, we had a great day in Castle Blaney, and the President was there, President Higgins, to unveil the statue to be. And his memory lives on, and we want to make sure that that continues, because he made a huge contribution to country and Western music. And, of course, we have a country and Western festival every year in Monaghan Town now, it's going from strength to strength every year. And certainly country and Western music still remains a strong part of cultural life in Ireland.
Right, well, we'll come back to you in a minute, but you can dance around the room now, listeners, to this song. Here he is.
gently rose, forever in the caverns of my mind. Once in a while, I hear the sound of music in the winter night. I see now and then the trees where we shattered from the rain. And once in a while, I see us walking home in the morning light. And oft are the time I long to see my hometown once again. By the meadow, and one country road to the churchyard where my mom and daddy lied. One dusty road where I strolled with a loved one's shadow, and one dusty road that led me on my journey far away.
Yes, indeed. The one and only Big Tom there, and a big hit for him in the 80s, The Four Roads to Glenamaddy, where I went to school. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group here in New Zealand on a Wednesday night, Christchurch on Saturday night, Wellington and Kapiti Coast on Sunday. And greetings to people listening around New Zealand and indeed around the world on planetaudio.org.nz. Right, the Irish Times headlines today: a no deal Brexit, a huge risk for Northern Ireland businesses, experts find. Varadkar signals four by-elections and referendum before Christmas. Weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain in the east and the south. Highs of 12 to 16 degrees. It's nearly as warm down here, Heather, as it is in Monaghan this morning. So hopefully you get a good summer like you did last year.
Yeah, well, we hope we do, because it's been quite cold. Actually, your winter here at the minute is warmer than our summer is at home, but hopefully that'll improve. We had a good summer last year, and hopefully the weather will improve. As you know, Oliver, in Ireland, we love talking about the weather, and we are eternal optimists when it comes to the weather, because we think it's going to get better tomorrow or
well,
the next week.
I'm sure it's the last thing you and your colleagues will want will be canvassing before Christmas. So obviously these by-elections as a result of the European elections, so four TDs have been elected to the European Parliament, so there has to be an election held within 6 months, so that's why the elections are there. But the other thing I want to start talking a bit about now, and you're from a border county, Monaghan, is Brexit, and a headline here, as I said, in the Irish Times: a no-deal Brexit, a huge risk for Northern Ireland businesses, expert find. So where are we at the moment with Brexit, Heather?
Yeah, well, of course, we await the outcome of the leadership election in the UK, but the EU has been very clear that a change of leader will not change its position on the withdrawal agreement and the backstop. And as you know, I live about 6 miles from the border, and you know, I have lived through the troubles, and when we had you know, checkpoints on the border, we had customs checkpoints, we had army checkpoints, and there's one thing for sure that I know is that we don't want to go back there. So it's important that there is no border between us and Northern Ireland, and people can travel over and back every day to go to work, whether they work in Northern Ireland, whether they work south of the border in Cavan, Monaghan, Dundalk, Donegal, Sligo. You know, they're travelling over and back. What we have works extremely well, and we don't want to see a border coming back. businesses in Northern Ireland are obviously very concerned. I've been to speak with them on a number of occasions, and you know, there's a very intricate, complex supply chain where you have components crossing the border every day for manufacturing processes and going into the manufacturing chain, and we need to make sure that these can continue to go over and back freely, because as that report, I haven't got a chance to read it, but as it clearly states, any disruption to that costs money, and it costs disruption, and that's why we're so adamant that there should be no hard border between us and Northern Ireland.
Yes, and your colleague and a former guest on the programme here, Deputy, or the Taoiseach, Simon Coveney, he's up there at the moment, trying to get the parties in Northern Ireland to work together. It's 2.5 years since the executive collapsed. Since then, Deputy Leader Martin McGuinness has passed away. Then there's been a vacuum. And then on Good Holy Thursday night, Lara McKee was murdered in Derry. And at her funeral in Belfast, the priest who was taking part in the ceremony, he said, "Why did it take the tragic death of a young woman to get all the political parties under one roof? We know the President, the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of the UK were all there." Now, that's nearly 2 months, and there's only been one or two kind of meetings that didn't last very long. So how important is it for the executive in Northern Ireland to get up and running and get the power shared and agreement going again between the main parties in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, well, it's absolutely essential that we have a working executive in Northern Ireland, because Northern Ireland's voice needs to be heard, and the people deserve representation, not least on Brexit. And, you know, there are many major decisions to be made on healthcare, education and power sharing that cannot be taken by civil servants. And there is a responsibility on particularly the two largest parties, which is Sinn Féin and the DUP, to show that politics in Northern Ireland can work. The good news is that they are back around the table. So what we need here, you know, are cool heads and a determination from all the stakeholders, you know, to the return of the power sharing executive. We need that. And we saw the death of Lynn McKee, and that was an absolute tragedy. To see that young girl, her life ended. It really is a stark reminder of the dark days of the past. And when there is a political vacuum, like what we have in Northern Ireland at the minute, trouble can manifest itself. And, you know, I would urge all of those concerned to please, you know, find a resolution and get the executive in Northern Ireland back up and running.
And elections, you're in power, you're part of a coalition government supported by Fianna Fáil, who's recently given you a supply and confidence. But obviously, if they pull their support, there could be a general election. But it's good to see that all the political parties in Ireland are working together until the Brexit issue is resolved. So there's a good working relationship between the major parties in the Republic of Ireland?
Yeah, well, we you know, it's certainly working longer than anybody expected, and in fact, the confidence and supply arrangement has been very successful. Of course, there are by-elections on the horizon now as a result of the European elections. There'll be four TDs will go to Europe, one of them being Francis Fitzgerald, who was a former minister in Fine Gael, and she's going to Europe to represent us there, and I wish her well along with the others that have been elected, and there have been a few new faces going to Europe. So it's all in all, there's a strong team going out there, especially from the Fine Gael party. We have two elected in my own constituency of the North West and Midlands, a young girl there, first time to politics, Maria Walsh, and she's joining Maria McGuinness on the ticket there. And then in the South we have Sean Kelly, and we have also got Deirdre Clune, so they're heading off as well. Deirdre got the fifth seat, which in the south of the country, which is the one, is the extra seat when the UK leaves the EU. So yes, there'll be by-elections held as a result of that. But more important than ever than before, you know, more, I should say, actually, it's so important that, you know, we have a strong government in the face of Brexit, and we're all working together because it is one of the biggest in our country in many, many years.
So one of the issues that's obviously a standing point in Northern Ireland is same-sex marriage. Ireland now, we've moved a lot. We've become a very modern pluralist society with the recent referendums. And so the message that you're sending out to the young Irish people that are down here that might have left after the global financial crisis, or some might have left when I did in the 80s, we know how tough it was. Is there opportunities for people if they want to move back there, Heather, and, you know, set up... home again, back in Ireland.
Yeah, well, Ireland is a very it's a young, it's a modern, it's a dynamic, it's a forward-looking country. We have come on a huge amount in the last number of years, and I have to say, when you and I started working many years ago, Oliver, in the Ulster Bank, Ireland was a different place. We were a country at the edge of Europe. And quite inward-looking. That has changed. We're forward-looking and we're at the heart of Europe, and Ireland represents a very attractive country for young people to come and live and work in. There are many, many opportunities. We have some really, really exciting Irish indigenous companies, and we have, you know, many of the well-recognised international companies. We have Facebook, we have Google, we have all of these leading ICT companies, and we have many in the pharmaceutical side sectors and in the med tech, and all in all, we have a lot to offer in Ireland. So for those who are wishing to return, there are many, many opportunities. Jobs are available. We're currently at a unemployment rate of 4.4%. So we've come a long way since 2012, which, of course, we had a terrible economic crash in 2020. In 2012, we had unemployment rate of 16%. We're now down to 4.4%. And as I said, there are loads of opportunities, and it's an exciting time, you know, to be living in Ireland, because I believe we have a bright future ahead of us. We're absolutely committed members of the European Union. That serves us well.
As you said in your speech yesterday, we both joined the bank. We got good, sound, pensionable jobs, which was very important in the 80s. But we diversified a bit. Tell us a bit politics. How are you enjoying it? It's a pretty tough life at times, but obviously you're a senior minister. You have been involved in lots of big discussions and important decisions over the years. And of course, you were really the minister that drove the centenary celebrations of the 1916 Rising, which was a major achievement and brought a lot of publicity to Ireland. So you're enjoying politics better than banking, Heather?
Yes, Oliver, I never planned, it was never in my career path to end up in politics, but I certainly enjoy it. It was a decision I made when I, first of all, was co-opted onto Monaghan County Council in 2003, got elected in 2004, re-elected in 2009, then I stood for the Dáil in 2011, got elected for the first time in 2011. All opportunities that came, and I grabbed every one of them, and I have to say I have never looked back once. I thoroughly enjoy the job I'm doing now, and that's not taking away from any of the jobs I was involved in the past. I managed a credit union for 12 years, which you know, was wonderful. But this is an exciting time to be in politics, and it's also a great time you know, to be part of government when the country is actually doing extremely well. We have issues, of course. There's always going to be issues that need to be addressed. And but in terms of the brief that I have, you know, businesses are performing well, and we're not sitting or resting on our laurels, because I've just launched a plan called Future Jobs, and that's going to future-proof our economy. It's a whole of government plan, and prepare us for the world of tomorrow, because we live in a very, very fast-changing world. We're looking at new technology and how companies can embrace new technology. We're also looking at increasing productivity in SMEs and asking them to look at their processes and how they can become more. And we're also looking at labour force participation, how we can get more people back to work, how we can make work more flexible for example for women who have families who want to get back to work but need a degree of flexibility, maybe for older people who have retired and we're all living longer now, so maybe how we can get them back into the workforce. We're also looking at a culture of lifelong learning, because the jobs we're doing today are changing so rapidly, and we need to embrace and learn new skills and take on new responsibilities and add value to the work that we're doing. So a lot of what we're doing, the jobs like on the factory floor, they're disappearing, and it's how we can train people to move into higher value jobs, because that's going to be automated. And I'm here in field days looking at different ways of automating processes and, using technology to and robots and artificial intelligence in the agri sector. But that's happening right across the board. And then, of course, we have to look at transitioning to a low carbon economy, and that's a challenge that faces us all. And we need to do that, and we need to address that, because all of us, somebody said yesterday, we're just passing through here, and we want to leave. We want to leave the world in a better place than the way we found it. So it's important that we deal with the challenges of climate change.
Right, just before we finish, you met New Zealand's Prime Minister today, Jacinda. We've had two female presidents of Ireland. Is Ireland ready for a female Taoiseach anytime soon? And if somebody came knocking on your door, would you put your hand up, Heather?
Well, I'll just put it to you this way, Oliver. You know, opportunity comes to pass, not to pause. So like you and I both did all those years ago, when it comes, grab it. And, it's if you get an opportunity in life, don't be afraid to take a challenge on.
Well, there's many connections with New Zealand. We're absolutely down here. I'm sure you're going to enjoy meeting the members of the Irish community later this week when you travel to Wellington and to Christchurch. And, of course, our national anthem is written by a Clonus man, Thomas Bracken. So the Monaghan connections are strong. And as I said, we'll be playing lots of Cavan and Monaghan songs in the programme tonight. But I thought we'll go out with the New Zealand national anthem written by Thomas Bracken from Clonus. Heather, pleasure to meet you, and indeed all your crew that are down here, which you're working very hard. And you do work hard. You're going out there, you're flying the flag for the country, and little did we know when we were in the reconciliations department of the Ulster Bank in January 1980 that we'd end up talking to each other on a radio program in New Zealand in 2019. I wish you every success with your trade mission down here and with your future career in politics, Heather, and look forward to keeping in touch.
Well, thank you, Oliver, and can I say that there's no greater honour than to represent your country, especially when you go abroad. And I have a great team with me, and it has been really wonderful to catch up with you, and I wish you well here in New Zealand. I know you came for a week and you've stayed for almost 30 years. It's been really good to chat with you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Heather, and take care. That was the Minister for Trade, Irish Minister for Trade, Enterprise and Innovation, Heather Humphreys, and who's from County Monaghan, Drum in County Monaghan, and she's down here leading a delegation this week at Field Day. So, as I said, we have a lot of songs tonight connected with Cavan and Monaghan. So this is a Clonus man that wrote the New Zealand national anthem. It's sung here by Dennis Marsh. Yes, well, wouldn't it be great to hear that song along with the Irish National Anthem before the final of the Rugby World Cup later this year? Of course, that's God Defend New Zealand, and the National Anthem written by a Clonus man, Thomas Bracken. And, of course, before that, we had a lovely chat with Heather Humphreys, who's visiting New Zealand this week. So if you're at Field Days tomorrow down in Hamilton, drop into the Enterprise Ireland stand where 11 companies or 10 companies that are down here promoting their products to New Zealand. We have Abbey Machinery, their Tipperary company, Combilift, they're based out of Monaghan. Keenan used to start off making sheds. Now they have feeding systems, and they're part of the Altec Group, which is based just outside Dublin. Dairy Master, that's a Kerry company. My brother bought a Dairy Master milking system there a few years ago, and I know they have a big operation down here. Malone Machinery, pretty sure Malone are from Mayo. There's two Mayo companies here. There's Major Machinery as well, then Tanco and Pro Dig and High Spec and Machine Eye. Machine Eye, just a description of it here, is the winner of an innovation award at the Irish version of Field Days, the Ploughing Championships. It's a new safety device for use on tractors, plant and heavy machinery. Machine Eye provides protection against accidents involving machinery for operators, bystanders and everybody on the farm. And it views the future. When an accident is imminent, Machine Eye automatically takes control and preemptively isolating or halting the machine to remove risk. So there's strong connections here between New Zealand and Ireland on the agri-food sector. And I'm going to have a chat in a week or two's time with John Roach. John is a leading scientist with MPI based in Hamilton. I heard John on national radio the other day talking about the microbovis disease that has affected many dairy farmers in New Zealand, and I just thought it'd be nice to have a chat to him. He's originally from Castle Island in Kerry, and he said he'd love to join us, so a week after we'll have a chat to him here. And of course, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and hopefully wherever you're listening tonight, you're enjoying the programme. Right, we'll take another song. This time I think we've got Cavan Girl here, and then we'll come back and we'll run through all the sports results from the weekend, and there was a lot of games on.
As I walk the road from Kilshamro, weary I sit down, for it's 12 long miles around the lake to get to Cavan Town. The water and the road I go, once seen beyond compare. Now I curse the time it takes to reach my Cavan girl so fair. The autumn shades are on the leaves, trees will soon be bare, and each record leaf around me seems the colour of her hair. My gaze retreats, defies my feet, and once again I sigh, for the broken pool of sky reminds the colour of her eyes. At the Cavan Cross, each Sunday morning, it's there she can be found. And she seems to have the eye of every boy in Cavan Town. If my luck will hold, I'll have the golden summer of her smile. And to break hearts of Cavan men, she'd talk to me a while. So next Sunday evening finds me home to the Shambra bound, to work a week till I return to Curtin Cavan Town. When asked if she would be my bride, at least she
Paddy Riley there singing a song for all the people from Cavan that are out there listening tonight. Cavan girl, of course, Heather, she's the Fine Gael TD for Cavan and Monaghan. And as I said, a minister, a poll topper there in Cavan Monaghan is our Heather. So well done to her, and continued success to her. She'll be interested to know that Monaghan, her home county, are playing Armagh in the qualifiers. That'll be, she'll be home for that game in 2 weeks' time on the 22nd. Offaly take on Sligo, Derry take on Laois, Mayo, they have to travel up to Down, and Clare are travelling to Leitrim to play that game, and Antrim are taking on Kildare, and Longford, they've got a tough task against Tyrone. Tyrone beaten last week by Donegal, so the Ulster final is between Donegal and Cavan. Cavan beaten Armagh in a replay last weekend, but there was a huge number of sporting events on, and on a golfing front it was good. Rory McIlroy nearly set a world record in a low scoring round, winning the Canadian Open, and other Irish golfers that did well in that. Shane Lowry was second, or joint second, and Graham McDowell had a good finish as well. But the real action was in Limerick, and in Nolan Park and Kildare, down in Limerick. Limerick took on Clare and wiped them off the floor, 128 to 13 points. So the games coming up in the Round Robin Munster Championship are Tipperary against Limerick. That's coming up next Sunday, the 16th of June. That's at Simple Stadium. There'll be a huge crowd there for that. And the final game is between Clare and Cork. So the table's standing at the moment in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship is Tipperary and top with 3 wins from 3 games, 6 points. Limerick, 2 wins from 3 games. They're on 4 points. And so are Cork, 2 wins from 3 games. But Clare and Waterford, they're having a dismal season, so neither of them will probably feature in the next round of the championship or qualify for the Munster Championship. So Galway, without their star player Joe Canning, they had a tough task last week. They travelled over to Nolan Park at Kilkenny, and it was blistery conditions, and they came away with a 1 point win. Kilkenny 222, Galway 320, and Kilkenny finished up the game with 13 men. Galway had 14. There was one Galway player sent off for a straight red, and the other two Kilkenny players had been sent off for second yellow offences. So games to come up this weekend is Galway travel to Parnell Park on Saturday to play Dublin, and then Wexford will take on Kilkenny at Wexford Park. That's a huge game, because whoever wins that game, looks like if Galway win their game or draw against Dublin, they'll qualify for the Leinster Hurling Championship final, and they'll be playing either Kilkenny or Wexford, whoever wins that game this weekend. So certainly big round of games coming up this weekend. And some of the headlines here is, why have the banner blown so far off course? Well, they're certainly not great at the moment. And then Cork hit high notes as crazy world of Waterford continues. Waterford actually were close in this game at one stage, but Cork winning 230 to 2 goals and 17 points. So that was all happening. And then other games that took place, as I said, Galway 222, Kilkenny 222, Galway 320. And don't forget, you can watch all these games on gaago.ie, gaago.ie. Log on to the website there, watch one game, or you can buy a package or watch a few games, and enjoy watching Gaelic football from the comfort of your home. Big weekend this weekend for Galway footballers. They take on Roscommon in the Connacht Championship final, and that game has been played in Galway. And worrying signs for GAA authorities in Leinster, because Dublin last week only drew a crowd of 34,000 for their game against Kildare. And you know, when Dublin fans stop going, you know, the GAA will have a problem, because 34,000 isn't even half the capacity for Croke Park. So lots of games coming up on the Gaelic front this weekend. And if you're in Ireland on holidays over the next few weeks, why not try to get in a game of football or hurling over there? And certainly if you haven't seen a game of hurling live, you'll be in for a treat. Right, let's see what we're going to have here. We've got Cavan Girl. I think we'll go for Tommy Makem, the Townie Ballybay.
Whitby ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, ring-a-ding-a-dong. Right, put the dandy in the town of Ballybay, there was a lassie dwellin'. And you were very well, and the story's worth the tellin'. Her father kept a still, and he was a good distiller, but when she took to the drink, well, the divil wouldn't fill her. With me ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, ring-a-ding-a-dong. Right, put the dandy-o.
And she had a wooden leg that was hollow down the middle. She used to tie a string and it and play it like a fiddle. She fiddled in the hall, she fiddled in the alleyway. She didn't give a damn, she had to fiddle anyway. Ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, ring-a-ding-a-dong. All right, pump-a-daddy-o. And she said she couldn't dance unless she had her welly on. But when she had it on, she could dance as well as anyone. She wouldn't go to bed unless she had her shimmy on. But when she had it on, she would go as quick as anyone. Ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o. She had lovers by the score, every Tom and Dick and Harry. She was good night and day, but still she wouldn't marry. And then she fell in love with the fella with the stammer. When he tried to run away, she hit him with the hammer. With me, ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o. She had children up the stair in the fire, and another 10 or 12 sitting roaring by the fire. She fed them on potatoes, and in soup she made the nettles, and a lumps of hairy bacon that she boiled up in the kettle. With me, ring-a-ding-a-dong, ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, ring-a-ding-a-dong. So she led a sheltered life, ate and porridge and like pudding, and she terrorized her man until he died right sudden. And when the husband died, she was feeling very sorry. She rolled him in the bag and she threw him in the quarry. With her ring-a-ding-a-dong, her ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o, her ring-a-ding-a-dong, her ring-a-ding-a-daddy-o.
Yes, that finished a bit quickly. That was Tommy Makem there and singing all about the town of Ballybay. We're going to go out tonight with a song. I haven't heard this for a long time. I've seen this band in concert once or twice. They're called the Wolf Tones, and they were obviously a very popular band in Ireland during the 70s and 80s. But they had a big hit called Rock On, Rock All. And this is about a little bit of land, a little island. It's only a rock off the north coast of Ireland and the coast of Scotland. But it's caused a bit of disturbance over the last few days because Irish fishermen are allowed to fish there as part of their European Union rights, but Scottish, the government told them the other day they're not to go near it, not to fish in around this area. So there's a bit of a standoff at the moment, which hopefully will be resolved diplomatically. Well, that's about it for me. I've got to pack up and head off over the bridge here back to the North Shore. I want to say a special thanks again to Heather Humphreys for joining us on the programme tonight and giving us an update on all things happening in Ireland and with Irish businesses promoting their businesses and expertise down here in New Zealand. Thank you, the listeners, for tuning in, and special thanks, as always, to the Hugh Green Group. I'll be back here next week with another edition of Ireland Calling. From me, good night, goodbye, and God bless.
Oh, the empire, it's finished. Now foreign lands, who sees? So the green England is starting towards the seas. 200 miles from Donegal. There's a place that's called Rock All, and the groping hands of the White Hall are grabbing at its balls. Oh, rock on, rock all, you never fall. For Britain's greedy hands, oh, you meet the same resistance like you did in many lands. May the seagulls rise above your eyes, and the war may caress your shell. Parts of Ireland, for it's written in folklore, when Finn McCool took the sod of grass, threw it to the floor. Then he tossed a pebble across the sea, wherever did it fall? For the sod became the Isle of Man, the pebbles call Rock All. Oh, Rock On, Rock All, you'll never fall. For Britain's greedy hands, I am you did in many lands. May the seagulls rise above your eyes, and the water caress your shell, and the natural gas will burn your ass, blow you all to hell. Oh, the seas will not be silent while Britannia grabs the waves, and remember that the Irish will no longer be your slaves. And remember that Britannia well, she rules the waves no more. So keep your hands off Rock All.
like they did in many lands. May the seagulls rise and pluck your eyes, and the water commission shall, and the natural gas will burn.